How many of you know who Helen Keller was? Yeah. A blind and deaf woman. She said, "So much has been given to me that I have no time to ponder that which I don't have." Johnny Erickson Tada, you know her, she was from Maryland, paralyzed in the Chesapeake by diving into shallow water as a young girl, but living all these years as a committed believer. Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful, it's a matter of obedience. One historian said the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. Nevertheless, they set aside a day of thanksgiving. Gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God, and it is one that the poorest of us can make. And be not poorer, but richer for having made it. In the 1800s, George Mueller operated an orphanage that at one time had 1,000 orphans. One morning there was no food to eat, but he called all the children and staff together and prayed, thanking God for the food, even though there was no food on the table. A few moments later, a baker knocked on the door. He told Mr. Mueller that God had led him to bake bread the night before and give it to the orphanage. Before the bread was given to the children, a milkman knocked on the door. He said that his milk truck had broken down and he wanted to give the milk to the orphanage. I think there are a couple principles that I'd like to share with you from what we understand regarding God and the kingdom of God. The church stands in relationship to all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In its relations to God, it is a household. And by the way, Scotty Dubay, Harold Bogardus, Bobby Barinski have cooked 250 pounds of turkey breasts for today after the 11 o'clock service. We'll go down there and eat it. And then the many people that have brought food and to serve us today, this afternoon after the service. And we have this household, God's household. We are in the family. In this household, God is the Father, Romans 8, verse 15. The redeemed, us, we are the members of the household, Ephesians 2, 19. We are the children with privileges, Romans 8, 14. We are also slaves, 1 Peter 2, 16. We are sons, that's the privilege, and then we are called into unconditional service and ministry. We are not really capable in our flesh, but by the Spirit of God, we have the same Spirit as Christ, who was a son and a slave, obedient to his Father. He didn't stand back and evaluate whether this was his obedience was fair or right, but in a moral sense. But he was a slave surrendered to his Father in the family. That same Spirit dwells in you and me, and you have found it by being Spirit-filled. So now we have a unique relationship where we actually know God the Father and we cry out, Abba, Father. In a diagrammatic way, we've described it a little bit like, well, definitely is a house. And we've said that that the world that we live in is something like a 2-story house. and that the natural man lives only on the first floor. He only goes as far as the natural world allows him to go. In his perceptions, his senses, and in his heart, in his thoughts and reason, he cannot find God by reason, but he can believe in him, but he doesn't know him. He can live in the first floor of the house for 70 years or longer, but it ultimately is over. He is thankful because when good things happen, when there are good things on the first floor of the house, then he's very thankful and usually walks through life looking for the good things. But they come and they also go. And even though he could live a life, a good life, with many good things, they also pass away, as he does also. But because of being born again and God telling us that you are made in my image, that I sent my Son into the world to redeem you and give you the Holy Spirit, then our world is bigger than just the first floor of the house. We actually can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can know his nature. We've communed with him and fellowship with him. Wow. Jesus said it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, in John 14. I go and prepare a place for you. And I love this phrase, if it was not so, I would have told you. Thank you, Lord. You would not mislead us. You would not mislead us. There is a place called heaven. And you ascended and went there. This heaven we read about in the book of Revelation is where they are praising God constantly. To us on the first floor, we don't understand that, praising God constantly, because we don't see him and understand things. But when we understand things better, then praise and thanksgiving is in the nature of reality, that he is awesome. And we can see that. Well, we are told in the scripture that actually this is to be part of our world. It is, we could say, we have this one kind of thanksgiving. This is the thanksgiving that comes from knowing his nature, not what happens to me on the first floor of the house. Not if, you know, I find a $100 bill in the parking lot or something. That's awesome. But that doesn't happen. I mean, for me. Very often, or maybe never. But good things do happen to me on the first floor of the house. But what if they don't? This is the gift that we have received. This is the Holy Spirit as our teacher and our comforter, guiding us in the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's write that word down. It's in Ephesians 3, verse 8. Actually, let's put it up on the screen. Ephesians 3, 8. Please. There it is. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable. Why are they unsearchable? Why are they unsearchable? It means you can't find them. They are unreachable. By my eyes and my ears, I cannot get a hold of them. They are transcendental. They are beyond, they are, unsearchable. But can you get them can you understand them? Can they? Well, he said that I should preach them. I should preach them. This is why we are assembling, because the Bible reveals to us those things. They have a list that I want to share with you, that Jesus was better in the book of Hebrews. If you turn there, please, I'll point this out to you. Hebrews chapter 1. Jesus is better, actually, than the prophets in verse, chapter 1, verse 2. He is better than Moses, better than angels in chapter 1, better than Moses in chapter 2, better than Joshua in chapter 4. That God gave his son. God gave his son. I have been a believer a long time, but I stop every once in a while. I was painting in the house, doing a little project for my wife, and doing a little thing, just stopping for a minute. God gave his son. God gave his son. It's beyond, we cannot understand that. That's so amazing. God gave his son. Father, show me. There. We don't have the verse anymore. Ephesians 3:8. Father, show me. Show me that which is, I can't get it. That you gave me your son. But why isn't everybody in the world stopping in the middle of their work for a moment and saying, God, you gave me your son. You gave us your son. Why are they swearing? Why, when they hit their thumb with the hammer, you know what name they use? Why do they do that? Why is this world this way? Why is there so much hurt and so much lying and so much dishonesty and so much anger? Why? Because they don't have, the world is hurting because on the first floor they're looking for good things and they're actually finding vain things. What's vain mean? It's empty. There's nothing at the heart of it. The heart of the thing. In the paper some years ago, Pastor Monty shared with me, because we have traveled to Central Asia through the years, and there was a beautiful woman in Kazakhstan, I think, and some advertising agency in Britain found her and made some offer to her, and her mother didn't want her to do it. But Central Asia, I mean, if you understood the world that they live in and how it is, it's like very different, much poorer, and opportunities are not there. So she did it. She ended up as a model, advertising, and then in New York. And one day she jumped from an 8-story building in New York City to her death. You know, what is beauty? It may be vain. What is money? It's a great tool, but it may be so empty. What is popularity? It might be, because the content of life, we are made for something. You know, it's kind of a misleading word, unsearchable, because it has the meaning of actually, you can't find it, but actually you can. If you read Job 28, that chapter 28 speaks about, did you go into the water and find wisdom? Did you go into heaven? Could you go up to the sky and find wisdom? Is it in the birds and the fish? Where is wisdom? I cannot find wisdom. Where is wisdom? Well, why is he searching for wisdom? Why is he searching? Because we're made for it. When you hear it, there's something about it. When you hear Christ, there's something satisfying. There's something about it that makes so much sense. It's a different kind of sense. It's like, not like you found a $100 bill. It's more like you found the whole meaning of life. You found God. You found love. You found relationship. And when God says, you are my household, that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, we are in his home, in his household. We are sons and daughters. And now thanksgiving has to do with his person. And that's the first thing here in our message on it. Thanksgiving. Wow. Because in Hebrews chapter, through these chapters, we have the whole word better. Because Christ became a man, he is God. You know the whole thing about who died on the cross? Jesus Christ. But Jesus was a man and he was also God. So did God die? And somebody could say, well, God cannot die. God cannot die. No, it wasn't God that died. It was Jesus in his humanity died. And I was thinking about that. No, it doesn't say that. It's too much reason there. It's God died for me on the cross. How do you explain that? I can't. But I know that God died for me on the cross and that God was a man. And being man, he was also God. And God and man, God being man, died on the cross for me. But God cannot die. When he was dead, where was God? He was holding all the world together by the word of his power. Who did that? Jesus Christ did it in Hebrews 1, verse 3. These are great thoughts. Because we end up worshiping God. That God was so humble that he took our sins, which he hated and despised, on his body. And he did that so that we could be free. We could be in the family. We could have a relationship. We could become worshipers. We could have holidays where we would set aside. We would say in our church service, thank you, God, with all our hearts. Thank you and praise you. And we have not yet seen when it is. But here's a couple verses on it. We see we have now a better covenant than what the Jews had in the Old Testament by law in Hebrews 7, 22 and 8, verse 6. We have a better mediator. Before we had angels and we had Moses, but Moses died and the angels come and go, but we have a better mediator, which is God himself, who came to be the mediator between us and God's world. Thank you, God. We have a better sacrifice than sheep and goats in Hebrews 9:25. We have the Son of God's blood that has justified us and given us access to God in Ephesians 2. We have a better priesthood. Not a priest in a building on the earth, but a priest that is in heaven itself. Not a priest that's born and is buried in the local cemetery, but we have a priest that lives forevermore. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We have a better possession, Hebrews 6:9, Hebrews 10:34. We have eternal life and his righteousness. Hebrews says we have 11 better things. We have a better promise, Hebrews 8:6. Better promise. You know, the Jews were promised that they would have the land and they would have a nation, and that's beautiful. We have something better. We have a city whose builder and maker is God. We have a better promise that we were going to live forever and that we are as righteous as God is. Praise him. We are thankful. Very thankful for that. You know, in the Bible, we have altars that are built. When you read the Bible, you find Abraham built an altar. Noah built an altar after the ark landed, and he took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered up burnt offerings on that altar, because he could praise God that after 1 year of floating and rain and then the waters abating and waiting for land to appear, and after 1 year of being on that amazing, awesome ship, he came off of it and said, God did it. He had an altar. You know, what Abraham did in Genesis 12, verse 7, and he said, to your descendants I will give this land, God said to Abraham. So he built an altar there. Jacob built one, if you remember, where he pitched his tent. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner, in Exodus 17. I just love the idea. Maybe you have done it in your home. Whenever my wife and I have bought a home, one of the things I do is, when it's empty, I go in the house and I kneel, like in different rooms. Just I'm there just thinking about this house. Father, I want this house to be filled with your presence. I want this house to be used for you. I don't know who's going to be in this house, but when they come, I want them to enter into a house that's blessed by you, God Almighty. This is bringing our life as priests into this world. We do it for our children and our grandchildren, because one day our son will say to us, what is this? And we are able to sit them down and tell them about God who brought us out of Egypt. And God gave us something. And God made us a better covenant, better priesthood, better sacrifice, better mediator, better city. And then it says we have a better hope, and then a better resurrection, and a better fatherland in Hebrews 11:16. Abram, where if he had been mindful of the country that he came from, he wouldn't have gone on to the one that he was believing existed, though he'd never seen it. He looked for a city whose builder, and he died without having found that city. But it says he died in faith, and he died in hope, and so do we. Then in closing, I'm going to say, in this life here, we have Thanksgiving number two. This is a Thanksgiving that's kind of in the first floor, where it's a Thanksgiving for good things that happen, you know, not so necessarily related to my own prosperity or well-being, but I have a Thanksgiving for the best example is my country. In the case of where we are living, we have a Thanksgiving, and I wanted to read that piece about our history. George Washington declared a day of Thanksgiving and prayer in 1789 to honor the new Constitution. It took the trauma of the Civil War to make Thanksgiving a formal annual holiday. Lincoln issued it in October 1863, 3 months after Union victories at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, at a time in which ultimate triumph appeared in sight. There was a lot to be thankful for. in the fall of 1863. And then I have that part. Lincoln was always looking for ways to unify the nation in a terrible time of war. Okay. Just one last piece. Okay. Thanks for your love, your patience here. Nope. I've got all kinds of papers. It's okay. You get the idea. I love the Lincoln part, though, you know. What he's actually said about it. Yeah, it was repentance also, he said, in the official proclamation. Repentance and thanks to God. I love that. When was the last time in our nation a president told the country to repent? And for all the people, all of us to repent. Oh, it just, you know, wow. Where are we at? Reading about the subject, my memory is coming. This the other night, I forgot it. It's beautiful, though. You know what? The thought I just had, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. But I can't remember it. I can't. What was I just saying? But about Thanksgiving, yeah. Wow. It's so good. I want to say it. Okay. From Deuteronomy, I think. Yeah. Exodus. All right, Psalm 107. I want to close up here in a minute, but Psalm 107. It said, oh, to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works among the children of men. I believe it's four times in that psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Then he has four things. When I'm in the desert and I cannot find my way, I'm lost. There's only hot sand. Oh, God will deliver me. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works among the children of men. Yes, Lord. How many things God has done, and how many good things we have in our life. How many things. Then he mentions a prisoner in iron and delivering the prisoner. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works among the children of men. Then the third one was a sick person. He is sick. God heals him. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works among the children of men. Yes. Psalm 105. And then to consider these things, to think about them, to remember them. Here it is. I remember now. The book of Deuteronomy. The word is remember. Remember. I think Thanksgiving is a problem because we forget. And this is it. The Lord said to the Jews, when you come out and I give you this land and these cities and these vineyards and you become rich and you become wealthy and you get blessed, then remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. Remember, you didn't get this because of your own power. Imagine Jewish people that oftentimes are their families are together. They don't have the same family problems as other people. Their education, their drive, their way of thinking, their attitude, and to say they are proud. It's like God is saying, no. Do not forget who you are, what rock you came from, Isaiah said, what pit you came out of. Who did this? Who brought Joseph out of the pit? God. Who promised Abraham? God. And may we also have this in our hearts. We have not gotten here because of us, but it was God who did it. If we are alive today, it's God. If you have one healthy child, that's God. If you got one day, I have a good marriage. Not a good marriage. One day, I have a good marriage. Thank God. You got one day. I have a good marriage. Somebody might say, I don't even have that. Well, yeah. You know, hey, I'm just trying to say something. There's something real here. There's something amazing. If we saw life as it is, oh, it's amazing. The third Thanksgiving are those things that I have that are good, that are related directly to me. I did find a $100 bill in the parking lot. Wow, that's amazing. I did have a lunch, but I got two of them. I had two lunches, okay? I did get a car, and it hasn't broken down in a long time. I did get this, or I did get that. I thank you, God. But if I don't have much in category three, I have quite a bit in category number two. I thank God that you got a great wife. I'm glad that you have a healthy child. I'm thankful that I have a country. I have the freedom that I've got. I'm thankful that I can read. My eyes are working, and I can read the Bible. That's actually number three. But even if I don't have that, I got a lot to be thankful for in category two. And then, of course, it'll never stop. Category one. That'll be forever and ever and ever and ever. The nature of reality is worship and thanksgiving for the nature of God. It is unsearchable, but we can find it, we can taste it, and we can see it. We got it in number one, and when George Mueller had his orphanage without any food, they got it. That was number three. They got it because God is so awesome and good, and he does these things to us all the time and for us. In the spiritual way, it's our new household, a household of thanksgiving and worship. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you today for your nature, your family, your son, our future, your promises now. We thank you for what you've given us as a nation and all the blessings all around. We see the curse on the first floor too. We see the destruction. We see the sin, the lying, the unbelief. We see the fear. We see these things. But that won't stop us from having the spirit of praise and thanksgiving for what you have done by your goodness. It is all around us. The earth is filled with your goodness. And thank you so much for giving us so much in our personal lives. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Anyone here not a believer, come to Jesus today. Say yes to Jesus. Yes to him, please. Say yes to Jesus Christ personally. He'll take your sins away and give you eternal life. Believe in him and start walking in him, and you'll know him. You will know him by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will open the Bible to you. The Word is forever established in heaven. The Word of God will speak to you and call you by name. In John chapter 10, he calls his sheep by name. God will take care of you and lead you and guide you and teach you and make you, you are made his child. And in a beautiful way, a slave, where you learn the nature of God, what it is to be a servant. Well, Lord, we thank you today in Jesus' name. Anyone at all believing in Jesus today for the first time, well, you must come to him as you are and believe in him, and God will show it to you. in Jesus' name. Anyone, raise your hand in the auditorium if you're asking Jesus into your heart, into your life. Just raise your hand. Anyone at all? Yes, to Jesus. The ushers will give you a booklet. God bless you. Amen.